You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 3. Let's focus in here on Galatians 3. This is not necessarily a continuation of Sunday, but it will kind of overlap somewhat. Sunday we taught on integrity, the integrity of God's Word, and how that integrity, you know, is the completeness or wholeness of something, the integrity of something, like the integrity of a building can be compromised and it will have cracks and it will fall. It's not complete, it's not whole, it's not solid, it doesn't hold together. Integrity of an airplane can affect it, and wings can break and cause problems. So integrity in that sense is stability and firmness and wholeness, completeness. And so the Word really is what holds everything together. And the integrity of God is what makes the Word work. We often hear people say, well, a man's only as good as his Word, but actually, really, the man's Word's only as good as he is. You know, God's only good as his Word. No, not really. God's Word is only as good as he is. And because we know him, we can trust his Word. And that's the same way with people. People can say anything, but if we don't know them, we don't know whether their Word's good or not. So as you build your relationship with someone, then you begin to be able, you begin to discern whether their Word's good or not. People that read the Bible and don't get anything out of it don't know God. People that really know God get excited when they read the Bible. They both read the same Bible. They both see the same words. But having known God, knowing God, and knowing he can't lie, and knowing his integrity and his character, man, when you read a promise in the Bible, you know you got that's for you. You can stand on that. But your trust goes beyond just written words or just promises. Your trust goes to the very heart of who God is. It goes to knowing God. And that makes his Word work for him and for you. Are you with me? Integrity is different from honesty. Honesty is telling the truth. It's just saying the way things are. You can be lazy, no good, and still be honest. I noticed you didn't come into work today, Joe. What's the deal? Well, I just stayed in bed. Well, he's being honest. But it just doesn't make him any better a person. He's just being honest. You can be honest and not have integrity. Are you with me? Integrity is different than that. Honesty is saying, conforming your words to a reality. In other words, just saying what is. This is a chair. That's honest. This is a light. That's honest. This is Wednesday night. That's being honest. That's conforming my words to reality. Integrity is the opposite, really, of that. Integrity is conforming reality to your words. It's making happen what you say. It's keeping promises. It's doing whatever you can do to make what you say happen. Ooh, that's good. I like that. And that's character. See, that's what sustains us as character. That's what holds us in position as character. Gifts, talents, they can open doors for you, but character keeps doors open. And gifts and talents may bring you, you know, to a high place, but only character will keep you on that high place. It'll keep you from falling off that high place. And so it all comes down to, of course, doing the Word or obeying the truth, as it were. And I kind of want to take that and run with it. That's what I taught Sunday, but I want to get into doing the Word and the importance of obeying the Word. Galatians 3rd chapter. Y'all found it? Amen. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Now, he didn't say they hadn't heard the truth. He didn't say they didn't know the truth. He just said they're not obeying the truth. Hello? Yeah. And the word bewitched, really, in this sense, not to get, you know, too technical, but bewitched here is to sway by flattery, to flatter them and to the point to where they don't do the Word or they don't need the Word. That's kind of what was going on here. There were a bunch of Jews that had come in and said, you don't need Jesus. What you need is get back under the law. And evidently flattered them in such a way and told them that it was not necessary to accept Jesus or to follow in his Word or his teaching. And so they were bewitched, you know. Maybe that's for everybody else, but not for you. Well, you don't really need to do that. You're better than that. Hello? You can be flattered into disobeying something. Flattered into being dishonest. Flattered into not doing the Word, not doing the truth. Hello? In fact, you can, we could talk about healing, you know, and then you could walk out of here and say, well, I'm a little smarter than that. I know better than that. Are you with all that healing business? And really the devil can flatter you into thinking you're smarter. Does that make sense? So you're bewitched into not doing it. Or I don't really need to do that. Oh, I know that. I know what the preacher said. And I don't really need to do that. You're flattered or bewitched into thinking you don't need to do that. For some reason or other, you're better than that or whatever. You're better than God's word. Hello. Or smarter than God. So that's kind of the context of that word. I just want to throw that out. So he wasn't saying somebody just put a spell on them, but specifically flattered them and told them they didn't need what it was he told them they needed to do. And what that was they needed to do the word. They needed to hear the word and obey the word. You know, I say this often, the end of all knowledge is action. I mean, knowledge is not to just be discussed over the coffee table at Starbucks. Although it's a good place to talk about it. But the ultimate end of all knowledge is to institute it into your life, to form a habit, to create a lifestyle of doing it. I mean, what would be the point of buying a manual to do something if you never planned on doing it? You know, if you're lost in the middle of a city and you pull over and get a map, what's the point of getting a map? The whole point of a map is to give you instruction so you can know what to do, where to go. And the whole point of a manual, why would you even get a manual? It's because you're having trouble with something. Something's breaking down, or you're trying to put something together, and the manual will tell you what to do. Yeah. Isn't that correct? Yeah. And so the Bible is our manual. It is our map. It tells us what road to take, but we've got to take it. And it tells us what, you know, what part to put where, but we've got to do it. We're the doer of the word. And we can be bewitched into not doing it, hearing it, not doing it. And yet, the ultimate end is always doing it. Yes. When God talks about love, we ought to go out and love. When he talks about forgiveness, we ought to forgive. When he talks about living holy, we ought to live holy. When we go into the Word and find out all these things about healing, well, we ought to pursue healing. Amen. If that's the case. Whatever the case may be, we ought to be obeyers of the Word and not be bewitched. Hello? Into what? Bewitched into not obeying the truth. That's good. I love that. Even a menu, you know, I taught one time the map, the manual, the menu of life. Even a menu, the intent of a menu is for you to order off of it. I mean, that's the whole purpose of it. You go in a restaurant, why would you want a menu? Because you want to eat something. What's the menu going to do? You can't eat the menu. It tells you what to say, what to do, how to get it. You know, the waiter comes up and says, well, you ready to order? No. Well, have you looked at the menu? Yeah, read the whole thing. Hello. Well, what do you want off the menu? Nothing. I'm just reading the menu. What did you come in for? Come in here to eat. Well, what do you want? I don't know. Did you read the menu? Yeah, I read the menu. Are you with me? You have the menu so you know what to order. And that waiter is waiting for you to place an order. We read the word and read the word, but we never pray. You have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and you shall be open. The door shall be opened unto you. So the point of reading and studying, the point of going to church, is to find out what to pray, what to do. Let's don't be bewitched into not obeying the truth, because that's the end or the ultimate goal or aim of all knowledge. God's informing us so we can do it, because he can't do it for us. We're the doers of the word. Don't think God's the doer of the word. You're the doer of the word. I'm the doer of the word. God can't call on himself to be saved. Only I can do that. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever is me, not God. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son that if God believed in Jesus, he'd not perish. No. It says whosoever believes in him. I'm the believer, I'm the doer. And so we always come to church with that in mind. How can I institute this into my life, integrate it into my life? How can I adjust my habits, my lifestyle, my actions to conform to this, to God's word? I'm finding out something to do. I don't want to be deceived or bewitched here. When I hear the truth, it's so I can do the truth. Amen? Turn over to the fifth chapter of Galatians. Notice this. Paul's still speaking to the Galatians. And he says in the 7th verse of the 5th chapter, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Wow. Now here he's talking about like a road, like if you'd run. This word hinder means to just like an obstacle, something that would deter you. You know, if you're running, you're running well, okay? We start well. We've called on Jesus, we've accepted Jesus, we've gotten the word and so on and so forth. We're running well. If we're not cautious, we'll be hindered from obeying the truth. At some point we'll be deterred, or we'll have an obstacle in the road, or circumstances or situations come up. And the whole point of the devil putting obstacles up, putting circumstances in front of us, is to keep us from obeying what we're hearing. Hello. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? So that's what you always have to keep your eyes open for, is being stopped, being deterred, being bewitched to not do what you hear. You know, it's just a law that if you don't do the word, you'll forget it. That's a law of any field of knowledge. Anybody ever took courses or classes in school growing up that you never ever used afterwards? Oh, come on. Yeah, there's a lot of courses you take. In fact, really, it's just kind of a hodgepodge until you get to college and you start narrowing things down to your profession. If you go that route and you go to college, you start getting a major and you start narrowing down which direction you're going to go. And a lot of things you learn just drop off because you're not going to use them. Hello. And when that subject comes back up, you don't have total recall on that. Are you kidding? Something you studied 30 years ago you never did, never learned? You have forgotten it. Forget it. Don't even go there. You're not going to have recall on that. Why? Because you haven't done it. See, you haven't done it. And in the doing of, you know, I've told that story many times about that slide rule. You know, when I was in school, the short time I was in school, I went to slide rule competition. I had a slide rule, man. I was good at it. I mean, just to pat myself on the back here, I was pretty good at it. I was always good with numbers anyway, you know. And, man, I had that slide rule, and I could just make that thing spin, you know. I would just slide that thing back and forth, figure out all these equations and everything. And that thing was packed away somewhere in the house years later, you know, probably some 25, 30 years later, I found it. And was it Jonathan or Chris? Or I think Jonathan. Dad, what is this? I said, son, that is a slide rule. Let me tell you about slide rules. And I pulled it out and looked at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I didn't have a clue what to do with it. I hadn't used that thing in 25 plus years at that time. And there's no way I could have figured it out. I didn't know the very basic rules of slide rule. Couldn't tell you one thing about it right now. Only thing I can remember is you slide that thing back and forth. And then it had the thing in the middle. You could slide in and out this way. And I don't even remember what it all does. And I was pretty good at it, too. But I didn't do it, so I forgot it. Are you with me? So that's something you have to always be cautious about. You don't want to be bewitched and not thinking that you don't have to do it. Or hindered, like an obstacle. If you're on the right road and there's an obstacle, you get that thing out of the way, or you get around it somehow, but you stay on that road. Because if you turn around, you're going to go the wrong way. And if you decide, well, I'll take another road, you're going to be on the wrong road. Right. You ran well, is what he says. Who have hindered you from obeying the truth? See, it was all about running. It was all about taking this and running with it. That's what God told Habakkuk 2:2. He said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables or tablets, so he that readeth may run with it. I love that. The whole point of us to make it plain. Why? So we could understand it. Why? So we could run with it. I love that. It goes down the 4th verse of that chapter, Habakkuk 2, and says the just shall live by his faith. I love that. Got to have a vision. Write the vision. Make it plain. So he that readeth may run with it. We ought to run the race that's set before us. We ought to take it and go with it. Apply it to our family, apply it to our business, apply it to our individual life, whatever the case. Find out what the word says. Obey it. Do it. It's meant to be done. And in the doing of it, we'll be enlightened, we'll get smarter, we'll get more established. The less we do of it, the more deceived we'll get, the more we'll slip back into darkness. I'm not talking about a lost state, but I mean we'll slip back into just, you know, I'm amazed that people that were in church years ago or serving God fervently at one time, and then all of a sudden, you know, they just kind of slip out, and then years go by, and you see them, and you talk to them, and man, sure miss y'all, what's the deal, you know, and, you know, they weren't mad or anything, they just kind of, most people don't get mad and quit, they just fade away. You know, and even the principles of the Bible, we're talking about people that are in church now, even the principles of the Bible, most of them, we just let them slip gradually, and they kind of fade away. At one time, we're real big on watching what we say, real big on confessing the Word, not making negative confessions about our kids, about our family, about our church, or whatever, about our body, about our health, and so on. Wouldn't dare say anything negative. We're going to say the Word. We're going to pray the Word. We're going to preach the Word. And then as the years slip on, we kind of slip out of that. And before long, we're just, you know, we're feeling bad. We're sick. We're taking sickness. Listen, I never take sickness. The thing I take is a healing. I fight sickness. I deal with it. We don't deny it. It's real. I never take a cold. I never ask for a cold. I never go out there and say, I just think I believe for a cold this week. You know, I have to deal with it. I have to fight it. You know, sometimes it gets on, but I come against it. I resist it. So we're never taking a sickness or taking a cold. We're taking a healing. And we are healed. We are the healed of the Lord. But if you don't guard your mouth and guard yourself, you'll slip out of that gradually, where you did know it at one time. You're not evil and corrupt. You're not a heretic or anything like that. You just kind of got lackadaisical. Hello, what's the point? You know, people make fun of you when you talk like that. Goodness gracious, just go ahead and tell them. Well, I don't have a problem telling someone. I may not feel good. Yeah, I'm battling some stuff, but I'm healed in the name of Jesus. So I'm not lying, but it's not my sickness and my cold, my cancer, my headache. Hello. Are you out there? I have to be nice. Brenda's sitting here. I'm always nicer when Brenda's here. Hallelujah. But you have to watch yourself that you're not hindered from obeying the truth, some obstacle, or flattered in or bewitched to not obey the truth. And then, of course, James says this, James 1, I'm actually going to tie all this into a foundation here in a minute. It's good stuff nonetheless. Basic stuff here. Common salvation. In James, the first chapter, we all know this. We've heard it. Many of the scriptures we could quote. Notice what he says in the 22nd verse. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So, you know, we're hearing the word is would be a good start, but let's don't be hindered now. Let's stay on the road and let's do it, right? Hearing the word is the start, but let's don't be bewitched into not obeying it when we hear it. Hearing the word is the start, but the ultimate goal or end or what God has in mind always, like a manual, like a map, like a menu, is for you to do something with it. He says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Wow. We talk about being bewitched. We talk about being hindered. Now you can actually be self-deceived. Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, that's the problem. You heard it, but you never did it. And if you never do it, you'll deceive yourself. I mean, there's all kinds of people that way. I'm that way. You're that way in some areas. There's areas of our life we need to work on. Because we just heard and heard and heard and never did it. I know people, and any one of us could stand up and say, I'm real developed in this area. It seems like I have faith for this thing. But this other area over here, I always seem to have trouble in that area. Man, if it's just healing, I can get healed. Or if it's finance, I can just get blessed here. But boy, this area over here seems like I always have trouble. Well, it's real simple. First off, you're having trouble in that area because you say you are having trouble in that area. Then you violate a principle when you start talking like that. Because you're already setting yourself up for a fall by saying you always have trouble. But then on the other hand, you probably hadn't spent as much time in that area of the Bible confessing those scriptures and those promises, praying and acting on those promises that you have in this other area that you're developed in. Because you can go down to the gym and you can just work on your biceps all day long. And it's not going to do one thing for your legs.
That's right. Amen.
You develop in the area that you work.
That's right.
You know. And of course, when you're working out in the gym, it's very important that you have a total workout. You know, well, we do a lot of work out in the gym, son-in-laws and Ken, big Ken, he's healed in Jesus' name. And we'll get to we'll catch ourselves in one area, just develop one area more than another, and we'll say, well, you know, we've got to work out on these legs, or we've got to work out on these shoulders, or we got to, because we'll start developing the muscles in one area because that's what we're working on. And you get into a habit of just doing that. And that's good, but it's not the whole. And every one of us can improve, spiritually speaking. You may be doing real good in one area, and that's great. Hats off to you. Thank God. You come a long way, baby. But you know what? There's probably some areas you probably need to improve on. I know me, I do. There are some areas I need to center a little more in some areas than others. But if I will do that, and I'll pay the price, and I'll do the work, and I'll do the word, this goes on to say, I will be blessed in my deed. Because the whole point is to obey this thing. I don't want to be bewitched in not obeying, or hindered from not obeying, or be self-deceived in not obeying. Notice what he goes on to say. He says here, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. See, you forget what you don't do. Isn't that the truth? I mean, that's what we, you know, I shared a while ago. I forgot all about slide rule. Why? Because I hadn't done it. And we could have been turned on in one area in our life at one time, and we quit doing that, and we just forget it. This is a law. This is a principle. This is like gravity. You can work with it, and it'll be a wonderful thing. You can work against it, and you can break your legs. You can twist your ankle working against gravity. Hello. But once you understand the law, start working with the law. Electricity is a wonderful law. Great law. Lights the building, heats it in the winter, and cools it in the summer. Electricity does all kinds of things. Runs televisions and cameras, lights, action, all those wonderful things. But you know, electricity has laws that it abides by, it operates by. We have to keep it in the wires, and we have to keep it in these boxes, and we have to have it hooked to these switches and these breakers. Because if we just had that raw electricity exposed out here, naked wires hanging outside, if you touch that electricity that heats your home and lights your house, it would kill you. It'd kill you because you violated the law. Now, it wasn't meant to kill you. It's just, if you don't understand it, work with it, it'll work against you. Confession, saying the word of God, is a wonderful law. It's a tremendous law. But you know what? If you violate it and start saying negative things, that same power to bless will kill you, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love shall eat the fruit thereof. And we don't want to forget about a law. Sometimes we're killing ourselves and shooting ourselves in the foot, don't even know it, because we've forgotten. It's been so long since we obeyed it, we forgot. And yet we're our own worst enemy. Hello. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. So what we want to do is do it whenever we come to church and find out what the Word says. Apply it. Ask ourselves, how can I apply this in my life? What is it I need to clean up here in my life? What is it I need to pray about in my life? What area do I need to adjust or make adjustments in? I love it. You know, people come in, they want us to pray for them and be healed. You know what? They realize, hey, I got to do something about this. This is not right. I'm not going to settle for this. The Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. I'm going to get the church to pray. That's doing the Word. That's doing the work. People call, you know, and say, y'all be sure and pray for me tonight. Such going on, or this is going on, or Ryan's got a test coming up. You know, not every young man would do that. Just say, hey, I got to get prayer because I'm going to take this polygraph test. I got an interview to go to. Hello. That's doing the Word. Are you with me? And when you do the Word, you're getting more solid. You're building your life on a firm foundation. Because mark it down, the storms are going to come, the rain's going to come, the wind's going to blow. It comes in everybody's life. But if you will make yourself do the Word, if you will do what you hear, then you'll keep building a firm foundation in your life. Turn to Luke 6. Sometimes you got to push. Sometimes there's resistance. I'd probably say safely, there's always resistance. Are you with me? There's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be a seemingly, temporarily, more convenient, easier way to do it. Hello. But in the long term, it's going to hurt you if you take the easy route out every time. Sometimes you just got to stand against that wind, and you got to walk, amen, and push forward. And sometimes the wind blows harder than others, but you just keep going down the road. You don't be hindered from running down that path or that road. Luke 6, this is Luke's account now of what we read over there in Matthew 7. All I got to do is find it. Yeah. Luke 6, verse 46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Well, Jesus obviously was pretty big on us doing his word, not just hearing it, but doing it. And Christians are people who have done his word concerning eternal life. We have accepted Jesus. We've called on him. And because we've done that, then we are born again. Now we're saved. We're going to heaven. We ought to continue to do so. Amen. All that he says. We call on the Lord. Let's do what he says. Whoever, 47th verse, comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Now this is a repeat of Matthew's account, which we read Sunday. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. I like that. In life, you got to dig deep. Hello. It's worth your time. It's worth your effort. It's worth your sacrifice. Ooh. There is no resurrection without a sacrifice. Think about it. You ever see the resurrection was preceded by sacrifice. There's no cross or crown without the cross. Not saying you're going to have to suffer. I'm just saying you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to fight. We're not talking about suffering all these things, sickness, disease. But you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to give up if you're going to go up. You have to give up your time. Are you with me? Give up the praise of men sometimes. Give up some things that you may like to do in the natural, but you know that's not going to help your future or help your family, but you're going to do the right thing, the godly thing, and the holy thing. Are you with me? And sometimes it's a sacrifice. But in the long run, it's going to help you. Amen?
Amen.
What you're doing is digging deep because you know storms are coming. You know life is just full of crisis. It's going to happen. There's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a test. You know, learning from experience is not the best way to learn. There's something worse. It's not learning from experience. But the problem with learning from experience, if experience is your teacher, you've got a big problem. Because then the problem with that is that experience gives you the test first and the answers later. Think about it. So that's not the best way to learn. You ought to learn from the Word. Are you with me? And find the answers first and do them. Now, you'll get experience that way. You'll have opposition. But if you're not going to get in the Word and you're just going to go through life and just learn from being around, I'm just going to observe, well, sure, even old blind hog will find an acorn every once in a while, as the old saying goes. But if you'll get in the Word, you'll find out where the tree is and get the acorns anytime you want them. Are you with me? Might have to do a little work, but you can do it. So it says he dug deep. The man that did the Word dug deep and laid a foundation. Everybody say, laid a foundation. That's important to get a hold of. If you're going to lay a foundation in your life, a foundation for a good marriage, a foundation for a good life, then the only way to do that is to dig deep. How? In the Word. Dig in the Word. Dig deep in the Word and do the Word. And in the obeying of the truth that you're not bewitched into not obeying, in obeying of the truth that you're not hindered from obeying, in obeying and doing the Word that you're not self-deceived and not obeying and forgetting, the Bible says you're blessed in the deed of the Word. That's what James says. This man's blessed in his deed, and you are laying a foundation. Man, why do you just keep standing on? Why do you always pray about everything? Why do you go to the church all the time? Why do you always talk about, well, I'm laying a foundation. I'm digging deep, and I'm laying a foundation against the time to come. Hello? Because there's going to be some challenges when my kids grow up. There's going to be some challenges when I get older. There's going to be challenges, and I'm laying a foundation. I'm digging deep. The deeper you dig down, the higher you can build that building. The higher the high rise is, the deeper down they've got to dig. That's just the law. I mean, that's a natural principle. You see these sky rises in Dallas, man, those things go down. It's amazing how deep they have to dig down to build those tall buildings. And a lot of that's never seen. We see the man cross the finish line in the marathon. We see him break that ribbon to the cheers, you know, and the screaming and the hollering and, you know, and the confetti and all that thrown around and the lights and the cameras in action. But you don't see that man running every day, year in and year out, with no crowd, no rhythm to break, rain, cold, by himself, digging deep, right, doing what he's got to do to win that race. Because the race is coming. Hello. And if we'll dig deep, we'll be ready for it. Always going to be challenges. That's just what life's about. Life's full of challenges. We're in a broken, fallen world. But you know what? We can win these deals. We can win these challenges. We don't have to go. See, when a crisis hits, if you're in the Word, doing the Word all the time, you've been laying that foundation, you've got a firm foundation. When the crisis hits, you don't have to go find out what God says. You already know what God says. You don't have to go build your faith, take a crash course on faith because you've got this crisis. Your faith's already built. You're already ready. You've already been doing it, and you're blessed in your deed. You know, Abraham had 318 trained servants born in his household, the Bible says, when, you know, his nephew was taken captive by the kings of Kedorlaomer. They came down from the north, down into Sodom. This is Genesis 14 chapter. Came down, they overcame Sodom and Gomorrah, and took captive Lot and all of his family. And one guy escaped, got around, and ran over and told Abraham about it. And Abraham, the Bible says, took his 318 men trained for war in his house, and he went up north, overcame those kings, and put the whoop on them, as we say in East Texas. Got Lot back and all the spoils and came back. But see, I don't think we get this. He didn't go out and train his men. His men were already trained. He was ready for the crisis. He didn't expect that to happen. No one expects a certain tragedy or crisis to happen. We just know that anything can happen out there. But if we're in the Word, praise God, we can handle it. If we've dug deep when the storm comes, we already got a foundation. See, we've already laid the foundation. We're not trying to lay it in bad weather. A little late then. I mean, God does miracles, and thank God he gets us out of a lot of messes. But he would a whole lot rather us get to where we're standing on his Word all the time instead of needing a miracle. I really do not want to live by miracle after miracle every day. I don't want to have to get healed every day. I'd rather walk in divine health. I don't want to have a financial prosperity miracle month in and month out, year in and year out. My God, Christmas coming around. I love Marceline saying they paid cash. Praise God. Awesome. That is just an awesome testimony. Bought all the presents, paid cash. That's the way it should be. Why should we have to be on our knees asking God to bail us out in January? Because we went up over a head in debt Christmas. I mean, what's better, to have a financial miracle or just to walk in prosperity? What's better, to come down here and get healed when you need healing? Thank God, if you need healing, come down and get it. Or walk in divine health. Let me tell you something even better now. What's better, come down here and get forgiven every week or just quit sinning? You know, the Bible says, my little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get to the point where we don't ever sin, but I'm saying we can overcome sin. It was always things we've got to deal with, but you should be getting over some things in your life. Are you with me? You should be getting free from some sins in your life, all right? To where you're not just continually, here I come, Lord, with the same old sin. Well, you better keep coming. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. You keep coming, but you work on getting over that thing where you don't have to keep coming. I write these things, little children, that you sin not, he says. He says, but if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and we confess our sins. Of course, he'll forgive us. We know that. But he's sure trying to get us to the point where we don't have to get it every time, continually get forgiveness, continually get healing, continually get, you know, financial help and so on and so forth. Now, those things happen, and we all go through that. We all know that. But let's get in the Word and get over some of these things. Start laying that foundation. Why? Because the time's coming. We're going to need it. Time's coming, the rain's going to come, the wind's going to blow, the waves are going to beat on the house. He says here, 47th verse, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. That rock, I believe, is the Word, doing the Word. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. It was laid, it was founded, it was connected, there was a foundation, it was right there on the rock of doing God's Word. If your life is founded on doing God's Word, then you'll survive the storms of life. They'll still come, but you'll survive them. You'll come out ahead, you'll still be standing. 2 Timothy, let's close this out. It's helping you tonight. Me too. 2 Timothy 2, and the King James 15 verse says, study, show yourself, prove of God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Everybody say a worker. That's interesting because we are workers. Speaking of foundations, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, he said, we are God's husbandry, we are God's building, we are builders together with God. I have laid the foundation, which no other man can lay, which is Jesus Christ. He was talking about building on that foundation of Jesus Christ. The Bible is filled with illustrations of building our house, building our life, building our marriage, and so on. And what we found it on, what we lay the foundation on, a marriage that's based on the Word of God will work. A marriage that's not based on the Word of God, you're just taking a gamble. Some people make it, some people don't make it. Are you with me? And now when I say that, you can be Christians and have trouble in marriage because somebody somewhere in there quit doing the Word. You say, well, sometimes they just don't work out. No, sometimes they just don't work it. And it takes two people to work it. So it's not pointing any fingers here if you've gone through a bad marriage. It may not have been your fault because you both have to work it. One person can't make up for the other person. We all have free will. But as Christians, we still have to work the Word. The principles work, amen? And that's true if you're dealing with anger. That's true if you're dealing with a sin of any kind, an addiction of any kind. You got to get the Word on the situation. I love our overcomers. I love that. That's an overcomers group. Hello, my name's Bob. I'm an overcomer. you can come in and say, hello, my name's Fred, and I'm an alcoholic. But actually, if you've been delivered and set free, you're not an alcoholic. And they'll go as far as say this, and God bless them. Thank God for AA. AA has helped a lot of people. I'm not against AA. But there's a principle there that, of course, it's not scriptural. When you continually admit that you are a sin, they'll go as far as say, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. Well, no, actually, I am not an alcoholic. I am an overcomer. You know? Well, they can't drink. Well, they shouldn't be drinking anyway. I'm not saying go out and drink because you're not an alcoholic. Just don't drink. I mean, I've overcome a lot of sins, and that's why I know how to do it. Just don't do them. Right. You know, you could go into any kind of sin. If you hang around it and do it, sure, you're going to fall into it. But if you'll stay away from it, not do it, and pray, stand on the Word, you overcome that thing. And what you are, see, and there's a deception. The deception is that you think that you're just doomed to repeat this, that you are this sin or that sin. Don't internalize sin and don't internalize failure. Sin is sin to be repented of, but you are a Christian and believer. Yeah. You're not a sinner. That's what you were before you were saved. Oh, God, listen to me now. Don't go out and twist this message. You know, people hear these messages all over the world. I'm not saying you can't sin. Sure, you can, but you are not a sinner by nature. You're born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So I am the righteousness of God. I'm a saint, not a sinner. I'm born again. I'm a Christian, a believer, not a lost person. To say I'm a sinner is likened to saying I'm lost. Am I lost or am I saved? Saved. I'm saved. Am I a child of God or a child of the devil? Child of God. Am I a saint or a sinner? Saint. You can't say, well, I'm a sinner who's saved. Are you a lost person who's saved? Are you a child of the devil who's child of God? You're one or the other. You're not both. That's what I'm saying. Now, sure, you can sin, and you need to repent of it and overcome it, but you're not a sinner. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Everybody say a worker. Worker. See, you and I are the workers of the Word. You and I are the doers of the Word. As Jesus said, hear and do. Hear and do. And to hear and do is to dig deep. I love that. You got to dig deep in the Word. If you're going to lay a foundation of the Word in your life, you're going to have to dig deep in the Word to lay that foundation. A surface won't do it. A surface reading won't do it. Sometimes you're going to have to dig deep in the Word to get it. And here he says, a worker that's approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer, like Hymenaeus and Philetus of this sort. These were two men who have strayed concerning the truth. Everybody say the truth. Saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. The New Living Translation says the word of truth. The truth of God's word is the foundation that stands. You know what's the foundation that we stand on? Is the truth. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, which is the truth. That stands when all else fails and all other hypocrisies and all other heresies and oppositions come and go and come and go. The truth of God is a foundation that we lay our life on, that we lay in our life, that we dig deep down and do, and we stand. That's amazing. There's a lot of religions in the world. You know, 2,000 years later, Christianity is still here. Are you with me? They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to destroy the Bible. They tried to paint it as heresy, and every king's kingdoms have tried to destroy it. We're still here, still standing. Started with a bunch of fishermen. Jesus, the Son of God, came along. He was a carpenter. Turned the whole world upside down. Never ran a government, never ran a city, never ran a state. But he was the Son of God. Influenced 12 men, not very wealthy men, not very influential men. Fishermen, most of them. One of them was a tax collector. They're really likable guys. Everybody loved tax collectors back then. It was no different then. And yet they turned the world upside down. Why? Because of the foundation of God's Word. And your life will be the same. It'll withstand the test of time, the winds of time, the waves, the rain, the storms. If you'll dig deep and you'll not be bewitched into disobeying, hindered from disobeying, self-deceived by not obeying, but hear the Word and do the Word, then you'll lay this foundation. It says, 19th verse, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." I'll tell you what, I know God knows me, and He has not forgotten me, and His Word will work for me. And in the trial, He'll be there, and the test, He'll be there, and He'll deliver me. And I'm going to run this road. I'm going to obey this truth. I'm going to lay this foundation. And all I'm doing is building on that, because all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Here I stand, and I will not be moved. Amen?